Well, welcome once again to Table of Grace as we celebrate our Emmanuel, God with us. And as Sarah read to us from 1 John, that Jesus is the very Word of God who put on flesh and came and dwelt among us, made a home among us, and showed us what home really looks like. Emmanuel, God with us. And this same God who made a home among us is calling us back home. But coming home is not always easy. Sometimes coming home can be really difficult. And so today we're going to look at the Charlie Brown Christmas to help us kind of look at what coming home may look like for each and every one of us. Because if you know anything about Charlie Brown Christmas, then it is just full of maybe some awkward situations, maybe some ways we wish home would be, but it really is a movie that captures the meaning of Christmas and shows us that even when we do feel lonely, that God is calling us home and we can find the true meaning of Christmas. Because the birth of Jesus invites us home to a new home, a new family, God's family. So let's begin by looking at Luke chapter 2, the Christmas story. It says this: "In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. And this was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. And he went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. And she wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger.' And suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared, and the angel, praising God, saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests.' And when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.' And so they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in a manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which are just as they had been told." The Christmas story. Well, coming home can sometimes be a bit awkward. Well, to begin our holiday season, then my family and I traveled to my wife Brandy's family's home. And as soon as I walked through the door, then one of Brandy's nieces named Izzy come running up. She's about 13 years old. She came running up to me as soon as I walked in the door, and she had a friend with her. And she said, "This is my friend, and they want to be with us, and they want to see what it's like for all of us to be together." And so I was kind of taken aback, and I thought, oh, well, how nice. I mean, she's kind of anticipating this kind of awkward having a friend at this family event, and so she wants to quickly offer an explanation. And so I thought, I ought to welcome this girl to the family. So I said, "Hi, nice to meet you." I did my best pastor move. "Hey, nice to meet you. My name's Chad. What's your name?" And I didn't quite catch her name. So I said, "Did you say Teresa?" And she said, no. She says, my name is Teresa. I said, "Trisha?" did you say your name was Trisha? She says, no, my name is Teresa. I said, oh, well, is it okay if I just call you Trisha? And she says, no. I was like, oh, come on, Trisha's a great name. I'll just call you Trisha. It'll welcome you to the family. I'll just call you Trisha. And she says, no, thank you. And then she walked off, and I thought, well, that's kind of awkward. But I didn't want to give it up, right? So every time I saw her, you know, kind of run through the house or whatever it be, she'd walk by. I would say, hey, Trisha, how's it going? And she'd say, no, my name is Teresa. And I just thought, wow. So I took one thing that was awkward and then made it even more awkward. So how many of you have had some of these kind of awkward family moments like that? You kind of, maybe you've already had some, maybe you're going to see some family throughout the weeks. Yeah, you really have, huh? So, some of us know these awkward family moments all too well. But in this process of kind of being awkward, you know, sometimes we hope that they're funny and we can all kind of laugh them off. And sometimes they just highlight that distance that's between us. Because maybe sometimes they're really not ha-ha funny. And we really don't mean them for a joke. They're just there and a part of being a part of a family. And that's why I love this movie, A Charlie Brown Christmas. It debuted in 1965, and they initially thought it wouldn't be much of a hit at all. They only had 6 months to put it together, and so they put it together in a rush. And even as they previewed it for executives, they looked at the pacing of it, the jazz music, the fact that they used children for the voices of the actors, which was really unheard of at the time, and they just thought, okay, it's going to be a disaster. But when it debuted, it was a hit. 15 million people viewed it. It came in second to Bonanza that year, but as many of you probably have probably made a Charlie Brown Christmas and not Bonanza as part of your Christmas tradition, I know we do in our house. Every Christmas Eve we watch a Charlie Brown Christmas. But what's so wonderful about it is that it's a movie that's all about the true meaning of Christmas. As Charlie Brown is over the commercialization and everything that's going around him, and he wants to discover the true meaning of Christmas, but he just can't quite get it right. Or maybe he does, but others around him aren't quite ready to see it the way that he does. And so we see it in this moment as Charlie Brown goes to find the perfect Christmas tree for the play. Let's check it out. Have you ever felt that alone? Maybe because of beliefs, experiences, you just find yourself all alone. Maybe even feel alone in a crowd. Well, I saw this headline from the New York Times. This is this, anybody in need of a grandma for Christmas? And this is what it says. I have nobody and would really like to be part of a family. I cook and I can cook dinner. I'll even bring the food and gifts for the kids. I have nobody and it really hurts. Let me be part of your family. This was originally posted on Craigslist and then was posted on Facebook on December 11th, about 13 days ago. And what happened is a woman named Carrie, who lives in Tulsa, Oklahoma, feeling lonely, posted this on Craigslist. And then she received so many negative responses that she took it down. But not before a 21-year-old named Carson Carlock saw this and then posted it on Facebook, that then grabbed the attention of the New York Times and some other news outlets. And so they were able to track the person down, and her name was Carrie. And she shared her story that she's fighting cancer. And on top of that, she's feeling estranged from her daughter and her grandkids that live nearby to her. And she says she just felt alone at Christmas. And so she posted this. And so they asked Carson why that he then picked it up and posted it on Facebook. At 21 years old, he says this, I know what it was like to feel alone. And I wanted her to have a family for Christmas. How many of you have felt that way? Or maybe feel that way now? You see, loneliness has reached epidemic levels, particularly among young adults, so Carson's age, and Carrie's age, elderly adults. In fact, according to the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, 40% of us report sometimes or always to the question of our friendships lack meaning and significance and connection. And they're also finding that the studies have found that that the mental and physical effects of loneliness are worse than the mental and physical effects of obesity on our health. Loneliness has reached epidemic levels all around us. But we're also finding some good news in this, that we're finding a ready-made cure if we would take it up. And this is this: meaningful friendships reduce the risk of mortality, the development of certain diseases, it speeds recovery. And not only this, that they're finding even a single meaningful friendship can jumpstart the process of engaging more people. So basically, for us, if we want to improve our health and our outlook in life, then all we need is one friend. And for those of us who would say, yeah, I'm that 40% that would say always or sometimes, all we need is just one friend that could jumpstart it. You see, that's the culture that we live in today. That's our friends, that's our neighbors, that's our grandparents, that's our children or our grandchildren, and maybe even us tonight. And so as I look at this Christmas story, I see one of these threads in this beautiful tapestry that's speaking to us tonight and to our culture. That this Christmas story is reminding us that the birth of Jesus creates a new home, a new family, God's family. Because when we look at this, even this birth account is so brief and matter of fact that it has such limited details that we're not told exactly where it happened inside of Bethlehem or what time of year, what time of day that it happened. Only this, that Joseph went to Bethlehem because a census was taken by the Caesar, the leader of the world, Augustus Caesar. And so he had to go to his hometown to register, and he took his wife, Mary, who was expecting a child, and it was there that she gave birth. And she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the guest room. And we're not even really sure what kind of home that this was. You know, tradition has this, you know, them knocking on the door at the end, and this cartoon sums it up. You know, how many times do I have to say, I'm sorry, I forgot to make reservations at the end, okay? The real reason, it was a silent night. You know, we see this picture of Mary and Joseph who go to Bethlehem, and they didn't make their reservations too soon, and hopefully that's none of y'all on this Christmas Eve, right? But they show up, and there's no room at Motel 6 or the Holiday Inn. Embassy suites have been booked up for weeks, and so they have to take the only thing that's available because there's no room for them. But what we're learning through archaeology and through study is that Bethlehem was such a small town that there really wasn't hotels and there wasn't places like that for them to stay. And so most likely that Joseph was going to his ancestral home. And there when they arrived, all of his family that had to come, that they were already staying in what was probably the guest room. The most homes would have maybe a common living area and then maybe one bedroom. And some homes would even have a loft that would be their guest room. And so perhaps they showed up and their guest room was all taken. And so they said, well, we do have the space down below, because most homes were built even on top of a cave or maybe right next to a cave, and that's where they would keep the animals. And so with Mary being pregnant, they thought, well, maybe you can have that space. And so wherever it is that they stayed that night, one thing is clear, that Mary and Joseph were not at home. That Jesus did not come into the world surrounded by family and friends that were expecting his arrival. But as he came into the world, he was certainly not alone, as Linus tells us. Let's check it out. You see, home and family is not about location, but it's about who's there. And for Jesus, as we look at this story, that it begins with Augustus and Quirinius and all of these important people throughout human history. But none of them were at the birth of Jesus. As Mary and Joseph were away from home and away from the people that they loved, that it wasn't even Zechariah and Elizabeth who are part of that Christmas story, as they had an angelic announcement of John the Baptist who would be born, and they had the whole town who would come out and celebrate the one who was born to, to those who were not able to have children, but even they were not there. And it tells us in this story that not even Joseph's family, if they were in that same location and that's where they stayed, that even they were not there. But instead, it was the shepherds. And sometimes when we picture shepherds in our nativity, then they look pastoral and quaint. But at the time of Jesus, shepherds were despised. They were the dishonest people that shepherds would go and they would take their flocks anywhere that they wanted to so that they could feed and water their sheep. So they would go wherever on other people's land. It didn't matter. So they were deemed untrustworthy, dishonest. And that these were the night shift shepherds. So they would sleep out in the fields with their sheep. They had limited human interaction and maybe they were even despised the most because you knew the sheep were there when you would wake up in the morning. But these were the people that God came to. Because as the story begins with limited information, it begins to then open up as these angels appear to these shepherds who are watching over their flocks at night. And they are given this angelic message of who this Savior is. "Do not be afraid," this angel says as he appears to these shepherds. "I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Because today in the town of David, a Savior has been born, a deliverer, the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. This is what you are to look for. A baby wrapped in cloth lying in a manger." And suddenly the great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, peace on those whom his favor rests." And then the angels depart and the shepherds, I just imagine it, they're looking at each other and they say, "Let's go see. We have to go to Bethlehem and see who this child is." And so I just imagine what it's like as they're going from cave to cave until they see this one where this baby is lying in a manger. And they just walk in there and I just wonder what it's like for Mary and Joseph as these shepherds kind of run in and they're gathering around and maybe they're bowing down and they're praising God. And they're saying, "This is the Savior we've been waiting for. This is the Messiah. This is the Lord. He has come. He is the light of the world. The one who's going to forgive us of our sins. The one who's going to bring all of us together. The one who is God among us." I wonder what that was like for Mary and Joseph. It tells us that Mary pondered all these things in her heart. That she's thinking about them. She's taking them in. She's kind of questioning what's going on. She's wrestling with all of it. And she's amazed. She's pondering all of this in her heart. But what she's seeing is she's seeing who Jesus is. From the moment that Jesus is born, Jesus calls the least of these, calls the everyone, the nobodies, the people who are overlooked to come to him, that they come to him. And this is who Jesus is and how Jesus lives his life. That we see as Jesus begins his ministry that he calls a tax collector, the despised and the overlooked, and this tax collector, he says, "Come and follow me." And this person throws a party at his house for all of his tax collector friends, and they invite Jesus because Jesus welcomes them and they welcome Jesus and they love being around Jesus. And another place we see those who were lepers and unclean and those who were cast aside, that Jesus would go and he would touch them and he'd say, "Be cleaned. You are forgiven. You are healed. God is with you." And we see that Jesus would gather in homes and he would break bread and share meals as a sign that he was at home with them and they were at home with him. And in fact, when Jesus gave his life and he was rose from the dead, that he appeared to two disciples, it tells us, and they walked down the road of Emmaus and Jesus is explaining everything that has happened and they don't quite understand and they're not really sure who he is until they say, "Hey, we're at our house. Would you like to share dinner with us? Share this meal with us?" And at that meal, Jesus took the bread and he broke it. And it's then that they can see clearly that it's Jesus. Because Jesus had this way of creating home everywhere he went. No matter who he was with, They felt at home with him, and he invited them to his table and their table. And he would break bread and he'd say, come and eat with me because you are family. You belong. You're a son, you're a daughter, and God is with you. That's what Jesus would do. Jesus came for the lost and the alone. And he says, you belong. You belong. You're not alone anymore. God is with you. And that changes you, and that changes me. Because when we know that we're not alone, then we get to be that one friend who goes to others and says, I will be with you. Come with me. Come and sit at my table. You are not alone. And that's what we see in Charlie Brown Christmas. As this tree becomes so much more, as the others around Charlie Brown see the meaning of Christmas. Let's check it out. Mother Teresa says this: it is Christmas time every time you let God love others through you. Yes, it is Christmas every time you smile at your brother and offer him your hand. What better way for us to celebrate the birth of love, hope, joy, and peace than to know that we are welcomed home and we can welcome other people home? It's Christmas time every time you let God love others through you. And so no matter what your Christmas looks like today, whether you're gathering around family and friends, or maybe even some new friends, may you let God love others through you so that they would know and you would know that God has made a home among you and calling you home. Will you pray with me? God, as we gather as your people on this most holy of days, that we celebrate your birth, Lord Jesus, that you came to us in the most humble of circumstances, and that, God, that you create a new family, not about location or about blood relation, but about the people that you welcome into our lives, that you get to love them through us. And in the process, God, that we know what real love is. And so, Lord, today as we gather, for those who feel alone, may they know your love as you bring people into their lives. And Lord, may we know your love as we go and we show that to other people, so that those around us would know your love and know that they're not alone. They would know that you have come and made a home among us, and that you are inviting us home. No matter who we are, what our story is, God, you welcome us home. So we thank you. We pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.